I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Cluck, the podcast where Ted Cluck and Josh Loftus talk about the things that make them happy. Because we can. Let's do it. Ted, my man, it is good to see you. Welcome back to another year in the classroom.
You're
fully integrated now. You've started the year and here we go.
I'm back, man. Back in the ivory towers of academia. As you can see, I'm in my my campus office here. So I'm back at it. Had a great first week of classes. Feeling good. Feeling satisfied. So. Lord willing, it'll be another nice year. This is year 11, Josh, for me at Union University.
Wow, is it really?
Yeah. Can you believe it, dude? Isn't that crazy?
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look what I just got, too. They got us these medallions for tenure. Cool. This is like where the money goes in higher ed. So,
yeah, 100%. 100%.
This thing weighs like 10 pounds. It would be a good weapon.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to wear that with my regalia.
Yeah, I think you should wear that every day you teach. You're just
Thought about it.
Wear what you normally do, but then you've just got that bronze like Olympic medal around your neck.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a who's third place. I am.
Yeah,
you know, I'm the bronze medal winner.
World's
today.
Third best teacher. Right?
That's right, dude. That's right. You know, I've worn it around the house a few times. Wore it to bed a couple of times.
Has it resulted in anything? Anything good? It
didn't seem to move the needle. So
didn't
you
move
know,
the needle.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, you know, it's okay. It's all right. It moves the needle for you, and that's all that matters.
I appreciate it, baby.
Yeah. So I do have a question. As someone who has not taught in a professional setting like you have, when you are going now, and obviously, you know, it's probably different from when you started because being at it 11 years now, like you kind of know to what to expect. But when you start a new year of school and you get that fresh batch, right, of kids in, right?
Yeah.
What are some of your expectations or goals for the first week? Because the first week is always, it kind of set from what I have been told.
Yeah.
First week often sets the tone in terms of okay, this is what this semester is going to look like.
Yeah, for me it's a couple things like, and maybe I've mentioned this on here before, but I write a letter to my students that I read out loud to them on day one, and then I leave behind for them. So the letter is always just kind of a culture setter, a tone setter. Clear presentation of the gospel. You know, one of the real joys about teaching at Union is that I can be explicit about the gospel, about the Lord, about the word. So, and a lot of these kids, I think what I've learned, Josh, is that though many of them grow up Christian, they have no real knowledge of the Bible and no real affection for the Lord. And,
yeah,
you know, getting to just be upfront about that and be joyful about it is a real tone setter. And then,
yeah,
beyond that, I just want to have some great conversations in the first week. It's a culture week, the culture of me, of our program, of our classroom. Mm-hmm. So we want to have some great exchange. And then I want to convince the people who think they don't like writing because they've had bad school writing experiences that it can be fun and life-giving. So
right.
we do some right. little creative nonfiction exercises, get everybody's juices flowing, and discover that it's fun again. So it's actually That's a cool. really important week, and it's one of my favorite weeks on the calendar.
Well, I would be very interested to read that letter. That sounds really, really cool.
I'll send it to you, man. I can send it to you right now if you want.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Part of me wants you to read it on the program. Like that.
Dude,
sounds,
do you want me to?
I kind of do. Like I would love to actually hear kind of day one what your students. And here's the thing, folks: if you have any kids that are interested in writing and looking to extend that beyond just the hobby and maybe go into school for it.
That's right.
Here's a little sample of what you would get at Union U with Professor Ted.
Dude, absolutely.
Right off the bat. So I would love you to read that for us, dude. I think
And I want
really
to encourage
cool.
them to navigate to uu.edu. That's our website. If they go to uu.edu/apply and check out with the promo code CLUCK, they can apply for free. So
love that.
Union is a former corporate partner with this podcast, and the free application still applies. Okay, Josh, here's Beautiful. The letter. Dear students,
I'm already crying.
How was your summer is always kind of a complicated question. It was amazing in some ways. I got to play some semi-pro football, but also bad in some ways. I broke my hand playing semi-pro football.
Right.
I got to do some creative stuff. Wrote a scene for a new movie, wrote a new book proposal, but had some creative stuff fall through. The guy who promised me a place to shoot the scene and an introduction to Kevin Costner, long story, may have flaked. It's still in process. I actually talked to him today.
I love – so that's a story. That's a story we're definitely going to want to hear. But I love how personal this is, and it's not just a stock, like the same letter every semester.
Dude, I write a new one every semester because it's where my heart is and where my headspace is and all that. So, okay, next sentence. I got to speak on the Psalms at my beloved Camp Barakel for the 10th year in a row, where there is also behind-the-scenes drama involving a dear friend. My sons, 22 and 19, got to serve at camp all summer, but I also missed my sons dearly. All of which to say it was good and bad, up and down. That is to say it was life in a fallen, sin-marred world where God is still sovereign, God is still good, and God is still working. And I am still working. For this, I am incredibly thankful. And I'm thankful to be your teacher. By God's grace, I've been doing this for a long time, year 11 here, after a long time in the industry, which included writing for ESPN, USA Today, World Magazine, and a 30-book career. To say it has been a wild ride would be an understatement. But I love my craft, I love making much of Christ, and I love spending time with you all. In some ways, this won't feel much like school. It'll feel a lot like how creative stuff feels in real life, reading, talking, and making product with my friends. I'll grade that product because I have to, but I will do so warmly and accurately. I'm here to move you forward. If you want to be a writer, I'm here to help. If you're just here for a good time, I'm here to help provide that too. I just ask that you show up, enjoy the room, and do the work. And if you get behind, please don't suffer alone. Talk to me. This summer, I preached on Mark 5, where Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead and heals the woman with blood. There is much to take away from that story, but consider this. 1. Jesus has power over disease, death, addiction, and sin. Link arms, run to the cross together with your sin, your cares, and your concerns. God's grace is abundant for us, and there is, as Romans 8:1-2 says, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. 2. Jesus saves people from every walk of life. He saved Jairus' daughter from death and an unnamed woman from 12 years of chronic bleeding. Jairus was a rich cultural elite, while the woman was a broke societal outcast. No one is beyond Christ's reach. Mm. 3, Jesus takes unclean people and makes them clean. This is such good news. He did this for me, and he can do this for you. Reflect on David's words in Psalm 51 when he prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Pray this when you have sinned and feel unclean. I want you to have a great experience here, and I'm here as your servant and fellow worker in Christ, your friend Cluck. So that's it. That's the letter.
My guy. That's the writing department. I mean, I would think I'd be hopping into a seminary class with that letter, my friend.
Well,
that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
Man,
I love writing those every year, and I feel like every year the Lord gives me a direction for it, some scripture that's been meaningful, a way to present the gospel. And I pray that it softens hard hearts, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you want. And
absolutely.
There's a lot of hard hearts out there in the room, not because these are bad kids, but just because maybe they haven't heard the word before, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I always expect your writing to be good, but that was very, it was very caring. And again, I didn't expect it not to be, but you really, really heard your heart in that and your love, not just for the kids, but your love for the Lord. And that comes through very clearly. So parents, like I can't think of a better advertisement to send your kids to Union than that. That's the type of care you're going to get if you send them to Professor Cluck. So get on
you're
that.
Kind
get on that.
I hope they do. I hope they check us out. And you know, all kind of biases aside, I think we have a pretty great thing going in journalism at Union. You know, I mean,
like all spiritual stuff aside, right? Like you guys are winning awards every year. Like,
we're doing great.
The program itself, just from a quote unquote worldly perspective, the program's great, right?
And my grads are working. They're getting great jobs. They're getting jobs in publishing, jobs in journalism. It's a lot of fun, man, to see where they go.
It's so cool. That's so cool. Now, when you're starting your first week, do you find often that the kids are on best behavior, or do you get to know, okay, this person's going to be trouble? This is the troublemaker of the class, and I'm going to have to watch out for this person.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I don't know if this is a function of college or a function of just our college. There aren't like troublemakers per se.
Okay.
But there are kids who will like filibuster the day away and dominate the conversation, and like there are some who talk too much, some who talk too little. So it's just kind of about taking the temperature of the room, kind of figuring out who's there, who I'm gonna have to like rein in, who I'm gonna have to bring out. You know, it's more it's more that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Here's a question for you. As someone who's been teaching this professionally for over 11 years now.
Yeah.
And then obviously successful career before that. What would you say when you see the freshmen come in?
Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest misconception that they have of your class, or perhaps just of writing in general?
That's a great question. I think as it pertains to them, most of the writing they've done in their life has been pretty cold, pretty academic, pretty argumentative, and not that fun. And I think getting them to take off that mindset of academic writing, which really doesn't have an audience, and then putting on the idea of journalism is all about like connecting with an audience, building a brand, building a name, you know, writing in your own voice, figuring out what your voice is. So voice is a function of two things. Voice is a function of how you make sentences, which kind of makes sense, right? Like my patter, my way of writing is probably different than yours.
Everyone has a different writing cadence, right?
Yeah, but voice is also a function of how you see the world, right? So even if you're not like the most elite writer of sentences, you can still be elite in how you see the world and process it for your audience. So I try to encourage them with stuff like that. Right. And then I get them reading great things, you know? So like right away we're reading great things in many of my classes, and they need to see what the best sounds like so they can know what they're shooting for, you know?
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah. So much of that mirrors, like if I'm teaching guys how to preach, so much of that mirrors that, in that like one of the, like two of the main things that I often say is, one, don't ever preach your prep. Your prep is not your sermon.
That's right.
Right. All of the Greek, all of the Hebrew, historical context, authorial intent, all those things that you are reading and gleaning from inform your preaching, but they should not be your preaching, right? Otherwise, your preaching turns in from a changes from a proclamation to a seminar, right?
Yeah.
And then it's preach yourself, right? Yeah. So many guys, and I was super guilty of this, so many guys when they first start have in their head the guys that they have listen to and watched, right? The Alistair Beggs and the MacArthurs and the Sproles. Right. And you'll see, like, it's not their voice. They are trying to emulate and copy their favorite preachers, even down to how they say things, right? What they say, tone of voice, like the cadence. And I'm just looking at it, I'm like, that's not
how they move
not
their hands
you.
Around. Kevin DeYoung.
100%. Hand. Yes, exactly. Mannerisms, like even down to that. And I'll look at it and I'll say, you're talking, but it's not you.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, and and a huge part of that is, you know, they say, you know, again, everything has their arbitrary rules. I don't really buy into it, but they say, you know, you got to preach over 500 before you start finding your own voice.
Wow.
Right. And I'm sure there's an aspect of that with writing too, in that maybe all they've known is, okay, these people that I've enjoyed, right? And probably I would assume maybe it was harder for you at the beginning versus it is now, or maybe it wasn't difficult for you at all, is showing the kids, hey, I don't want you to write like me.
Yes.
Like, I'm teaching you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see me in your writing.
Yeah, that's
right. Like, I want to see the principles there, but I don't want to see my voice, right?
Yeah, that's right. And by and large, they don't read. I mean, our students...
They don't read?
Yeah, no, they don't. I mean, these are bright kids for the most part. But, I mean, they get here, you know, they're young. They've read Lord of the Rings and, like... Yeah. A couple other things, and that's it.
Half the Narnia books.
Yeah, they've read the Narnia books. They've read Lord of the Rings. And so they're really blank canvases in terms of especially what we do with the feature, with creative nonfiction. And so it's really fun to teach people like that. And I would say, too, to anyone listening, you know, college isn't just for, you know, people who are 18 years old. You know, I would love to have more non-traditional, quote-unquote, students in my program where...
Oh, for sure.
You know, maybe you're mid-career, maybe you're in the middle of your life, maybe you just want something new. Maybe you want to learn how to connect with audiences, and I would love to have some of those folks in my classes, too.
I love that. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, best of luck to you, Ted. I'm sure we'll be getting updates as you're going on, but new year, 11 years, man. That's 11. That's crazy.
I was telling somebody this morning, like, for about 5 years in this job, I felt new.
Yeah.
And then immediately I felt like I'd been here forever. And there was no in between.
It just,
you know?
a switch flipped.
Yeah, I feel like I've been here absolutely forever now. And I'm like the older faculty member who knows where all the bodies are buried, you know? And it's kind of weird to be on that side of things and have people coming to me for, like, not advice, but just like, hey, how do I navigate this place kind of stuff. So
Well, you got wide shoulders for it, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, you are for sure. Yeah. Well, we're gonna continue on into in kind of the this has started out in sort of the finer things that Ted and I are into. We have had a request from multiple listeners, and this might be to the chagrin of some, but we're gonna do it anyway because I know Ted and I like it. We have had multiple requests for some cigar talk.
Oh yeah.
And it's not something that we frequent a whole lot on this podcast, but we have mentioned it once or twice. And just, you know, we had a cigar sponsor and things like that. Just, I think it would be fun just to go into where did you start?
Yeah.
Right? Because everyone has a pathway into it. And what are you enjoying right now?
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I want to hear both of these things for you too.
Oh sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got.
So I smoked my first cigar on a ferry boat between, it was between Tallinn, Estonia, and Stockholm, Sweden.
No way.
Yeah,
I can't think of a more, like, quintessential, like, no wonder you like them after that experience.
Dude, it was very cool. I was, like, 21 years old. I was living in Lithuania. My wife and I were just out of college, and we were doing this year of teaching in a missionary school in Lithuania, and we were, you know, going to some conference in Stockholm, which, I mean, suffering for Jesus, right? Like, sure, I mean, make all the jokes, but yeah, we're just on this boat with all these kids who are kind of doing the same thing, and there was a cigar shop on the ferry boat. There was a little humidor. It was very small, and I just picked out something that I could afford, and we walked up on the deck and smoked our cigars, and it was a pretty amazing experience, dude.
Yeah.
And I didn't become fully a cigar guy really until some years later, but I did enjoy that first experience. And of course, moving down here and having a home with a cigar lounge was kind of sealed the deal for being a cigar guy. But I would say for now, what I'm enjoying currently, I just really enjoy the whole Drew Estates lineup.
There you go.
And I think I'm kind of a creature of habit. I'm not super adventurous when I'm cigar buying. Sure. Like, if there's something I know that I like, I just kind of stock my humidor with that and enjoy those. So they're really well made. They tend to draw really well. They won't break the bank. I am a small college professor, so I'm not like printing money left and right. So,
you know,
I can't go into a smoke shop and just buy whatever I want. So,
I
enjoy Drew Estates. I enjoy Olivas. I got to meet some folks who were involved in the Oliva cigar business some time ago, and enjoyed them. So I tend to buy those some too. But what about you, man? First cigar experience and what you're enjoying now?
Yeah. So for me, it started a lot young. Like the obsession with it started when I was too young to engage in it. So being a tad younger than you, I had kind of my first experience with kind of the wonder of, it was actually pipe smoking at the time from like, and it was very much, I mean, call me a quintessential homeschooler. I am. It was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Right. Reading the books, watching the movies.
Yeah.
Tolkien was an avid, and C.S. Lewis was an avid pipe smoker. Right. And sure. it permeated their writing and their culture. And it was just something that was just normal. Right.
Yeah.
And I was always super fascinated by that. It looked fun. It looked relaxing, all those things.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, didn't grow up in a household where that was acceptable. Right.
Yeah.
For sure. So that really didn't take off until I was already in my 20s.
I
had been married for a while. Right. And we were on our own. We had, moved away. And I remember, like, I finished like my yearly watch of Lord of the Rings. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
So I went on Amazon and I bought this, like, it was like a $50 pipe kit, like cheapo pipe, the little, you got all the accoutrements with it, right?
Yeah.
You know, your tamper, and I think it came with a cheap mat, a cheap lighter.
Yeah.
And I went down to the pipe shop and bought some loose tobacco. I think I bought like some like Cherry Jubilee or something like that.
There you go.
And I sat on my back porch and had no clue what I was doing. I looked at a bunch of YouTube tutorials to figure out, hey, how does this even work, right?
Yeah.
And I smoked my first pipe on the back porch.
Nice.
And fell in love with it. Loved it. Absolutely loved it, right?
Dude, so great.
So did that for a little bit. And then a bunch of the friends that I was with, they enjoyed pipes, but they really enjoyed cigars. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try this, right? So went back to the cigar shop. You know, it was probably a year or two later. And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna try this cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Bought it. I think it was like a, I think it was a, an acid Cuba Cuba or something like that. Just absolute sugar bomb, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I went back to my back porch and I thought, hey, I can smoke this like I can a pipe. You know, it's the same concept.
Yeah.
So I herfed on that thing.
Yeah.
And a half hour in, my man, I started feeling it and I got so
feeling sick. A little green around the gills,
Dude, I my gills had gangrene. That's how green it was. I got up, I ran to that bathroom and lost it all.
Oh, right? No.
But it didn't turn me off on them. So I started doing that, and then I started getting away from the sugary stuff, and really got, like, Drew Estate is still a favorite of mine. I love their Liga Privada line, the T52 and the number 9. Those are probably my favorites. Got away from the sweet stuff and then started getting into more of the natural blends, right?
Yeah.
And then I met this guy named Jack, who's my co-host on another podcast that I do. And he got me into boutique brands, small batch brands, lesser known, off, like, non-name brand cigars.
Yeah.
Guys that are, it's a family business in their garage that are pumping out, like, and I found personally, because that's the thing with cigars, is that everything's subjective.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Right. What you like
is
not what this guy's going to like. And,
smoke what you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Right. There's a lot of snobbery in the cigar industry and the culture. Yeah. And you really can't afford to have that if you're going to be happy. Right. So I have found personally that where the flavor is, where the flavor combos that I love, the combination of, you know, the Ecuadorian leaves and the San Andrean leaves and the Nicaraguan leaves, you find that in the boutique brands because they take more time to experiment, right? Yeah. Whereas some of the larger brands, like, they've nailed a blend.
Yeah.
And it's what they go with, right? It's tried and true. It's what put them on the map. They're popular. So that's that's what they're going to produce. That's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But there's not as much experimentation.
Yeah.
So I started getting into these boutique brands like Shafio. Like, I'm going to pull up some that I really like right now, like Shafio, Ricochet, Southern Draw, La Galera, Sinistro. There's a band called Apostate, which is really funny. They're out of Utah.
Wow.
And it's fantastic sticks.
Wow.
So just kind of like these lesser known brands. And man, I have been I've been on that for since, you know, it's been years now.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I'm always, what's cool for me, and what's funny is, like, I've got a friend who's the exact opposite. He has like three cigars that he likes. That's all he smokes. That's cool. I mean, you do you, dude, right?
Yeah.
For me, a part of it is the hunt. I'm always looking for the next small batch cigar because they're always popping up. Right?
Yeah.
And the next cigar that this small no-name company is putting out and trying the blends and trying the pairings. And it's just a super fun hobby that I'm really, really enjoying. I would say for me, I found, the one that I will shout out right now, it's a brand called Family by Loyalty. And they have put out a Viking line of cigars, and that they've taken all of the mythical Nordic wolves.
Oh wow!
And given them all different cigars,
dude. That's a sick idea. I like that.
It's so cool, dude. And the flavors that you're getting on these are absolutely phenomenal,
dude. So, here's what you need to do, man. Idea: chase them down as a sponsor.
I would love to. I've reached out to them multiple times. I'll do it again. But
do
I would
it.
Love to
do it.
Like, they have such great sticks.
Yeah, dude. I would love to try some of those. And I think it's a fun concept. And your story about herfing down that acid cigar.
Oh, dude. It
reminded me of a getting sick on cigars story that I like to tell. Where this involves my other podcast co-host Zach.
Yes.
And Zach and I were doing something in the summer in Michigan that we were fond of doing, which was we drive to Bay City to go antiquing. And it was one of these days where it was just so hot and humid. We have a cigar shop that we love in Bay City called Tim's, Timothy's Fine Tobaccos. And we would go into Tim's, and Zach's always trying to get me to kind of do more than I want to do. And you know, we got these two huge, like, dark shade cigars, and I smoked one, and I was feeling pretty good. And mm-hmm. he's like, dude, let's smoke the next one, you know? And I'm kind of like, nah, you know, I think I'm good. He's like, come on, you know? So,
of course,
I cave into peer pressure. I smoke the next one, and we start to drive home, and dude, I am losing it. Like, I'm green around the gills myself. And
it's the worst feeling, isn't it? Like,
it's terrible.
Like, it's a different feeling than like eating too much and wanting and needing to throw up versus a nicotine high.
Yeah.
That it's so unique and it's awful.
Well, and you think you can get on top of it. And I would think things like, oh, I'll just lower the window, or I'll just point the air conditioner at myself, or I'll just sip some water or whatever. None of it's in your blood, dude.
It's in your bloodstream.
And finally, I'm like, dude, you got to exit. Like, and long story short, I ended up on the floor of some park district bathroom. It was disgusting. Oh. And I'm just like splashing water on my face from the sink. And it was such a bad scene. But, you know, like you, it didn't turn me off.
No, it doesn't. Thankfully. Yeah. But yeah. I feel like everyone has those moments, right?
Yeah. Those cautionary moments. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's part of learning, right? Like, to me, I still really enjoy pipes too, but to me, it depends on the setting that I'm in. Yeah. Pipes are much more contemplative. I'll smoke pipes, primarily in the fall and in the winter because the bowl gets warm. It keeps your hands warm.
If
I'm doing things by myself,
mm-hmm.
I like the pipe.
Yeah.
But if I'm in a community setting or I'm having a conversation with somebody or we're doing something social, I usually gravitate toward a cigar because it's easier to keep lit and it's easier to engage in that while you are engaging in something else. When you're smoking a pipe, the pipe really kind of has to be the main character because you're taking care of it, you're nursing it, you're tamping it, you're keeping it. You know, it's an active experience to keep it lit, whereas a cigar, it's pretty much just light and go, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's right.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there we go. Well, cigar talk. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you didn't, next week will be different. Just come back next week. It'll be fine. But we are at our time. I do have album cover reviews, but I'm going to save them for next week. We are going to get back into those. We promise. I have them on the phone here, but we're already at time. So Ted, good luck this semester. You guys are on semesters, right?
Yep.
Right on. Okay. Good luck this semester, man. Looking forward
to thank you.
Hearing stories about that. And listeners, we thank you guys for listening. Make sure to reach out to us on the X, the Twitter, the Instagram at CluckCast, and make sure to send us any topics you want us to cover or funny album covers, all that good stuff. We love hearing from our listeners and getting you guys on the episode. So we thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of Cluck. Later.